Welcome to Total Picture Radio, the voice of career leadership. Tune in and dial up your career. Welcome to a Success Strategies Channel edition of Total Picture Radio. This is Peter Clayton reporting. Joining us today is Kurt Mortensen. He is the author of Persuasion IQ, The 10 Skills You Need to Get Exactly What You Want, published by Amacom. Kurt is one of America's foremost authorities on persuasion, motivation, negotiation, and influence, and the founder of the Persuasion Institute. He is the author of the best-selling book, Maximum Influence. Mr. Mortensen joins us today from Provo, Utah. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us today on Total Picture Radio.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So your latest book is titled Persuasion IQ, The 10 Skills You Need to Get Exactly What You Want. As we know, Kurt, there are tons and tons of books out there on selling skills, on persuasion. What's different with yours?
Well, anybody can learn a sales skill or a closing skill. And when I started researching persuasion and great persuaders, it was kind of offensive to learn some of these closing skills. And I've always thought that when people use closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date, okay? If people don't like you and people don't trust you, a clever phrase is not going to help you out. And so the difference between this material is understanding human nature, why we do what we do, why people say no. Not a clever phrase, not forced manipulation, but something that can help you connect with people, open people up, where people want to be persuaded by you, so you can get others to want to do what you want them to do, and in the process, they like doing it.
Tell us about the Persuasion Institute. You are the founder of this organization. What does your company do?
We go out there and we study persuasion influence. We study top persuaders. We administer Persuasion IQ, and our goal is to find out, okay, what's working, what's not working, and first of all, why are people lying to you? Because when people aren't interested in your product or service, they're going to lie. It's too expensive, I can't afford it, I don't have the time, I'll come back later, I need to talk to a partner, I need to talk to a spouse. And so our job at the Persuasion Institute is to interview people after they lied to you to find out really what happened. Did you not connect with them? Was it a lack of trust? What was really happening there? We can get in the mind of the consumer, because people are always going to lie to the persuader because they've learned that it's the easiest way out.
You know, Kurt, we've all heard the expression natural-born salesman. Is there such a thing?
Well, some people have more skills than others. They're more innate than others, but this is a skill that can be learned. And a lot of things that people learned along the way actually hurt them more than they helped them. For example, we now know that introverts out-persuade extroverts.
Really?
Exactly. The typical extrovert comes across as a persuader, comes across as a salesperson, and the way we're so skeptical now that the moment we sense somebody's going to try to persuade us to do something, we're going to resist. Even though we need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, we will resist. But an introvert listens, asks questions, and comes across as a consultant. And when they can listen and ask questions, the person will tell them everything they need to know to help that person persuade themselves.
Okay, so now you're talking about some of the important traits of really great persuaders. Can you give us some others?
You bet. We talked about, you know, the ability to listen, the ability to ask questions, because one of the big complaints against most persuaders is they're talking three times too much. And excuse my language here, what they're doing is they're vomiting on people, okay? Here are the 72 reasons you should do this, and nobody likes that. It turns everybody off instead of really finding out what their wants and their needs are. So listening skills, questioning skills, understanding the way the human mind works, why we do what we do, are all things that make a big difference. And one that's top of the list is the ability to establish trust. And, of course, the ability to connect with people. Because the numbers show that when you can connect with somebody, and when you have trust, there's a 90% chance of persuasion. But when you don't connect with someone and there's no trust, you only have a 10% chance.
I'd like to have you expand upon that a little bit, because that is one of your skills, is establishing automatic trust. How do you establish automatic trust with someone?
And that's what people really need to understand, is that trust, because here's a big shift. 20 years ago, it was, I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now it's, you know, I don't trust you, give me a reason to trust you.
Right.
So even though you're a good person, a trustworthy person, does not mean people trust you. And so there's a couple factors here. Is it a function of character? Sure. You know, they're looking at your character, your integrity, your sincerity, your honesty. But they're also looking at your competence. Can you do what you say? Now, this could be real or this could be perceived. And they're also taking a look at your confidence level. how confident are you? Are you coming across cocky, which will repel them, or are you confident? I mean, when you take a look for these three things, you go to a dentist, for example. Would you go to a dentist that had great character but was not very competent, that would stick a needle completely through your cheek? I don't think so. Or on the flip side, would you go to a dentist that's very competent but has no character and will overbill you and put in more fillings than you need? Or, of course, the confident side, when you're sitting in the dental chair, they've taken the x-rays, and the dentist comes in and says, I'm not very good at reading this. I think you need a root canal. What do you think? Okay. You'd probably start running. And so there's factors there that people are looking at. Can they trust you? Do they like you? And here's the big eye-opener we've noticed at the Persuasion Institute, is up to 95% of all persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, when you meet somebody, in 30 seconds, they're going to judge if they trust you or not. It could be a gesture. It could be a word choice. It could be the color of your clothing. It could be a smell. It's just a feeling that we have. We can't quantify it sometimes. It's a feeling that we have. I like this person. I don't like this person. I trust this person, or I don't trust this person.
Being able to create instant rapport with someone. Can you give us some of the things that you've learned and some of the research you've done on how you can go about creating rapport with someone?
And rapport is the critical thing, that likability. Can you connect with that person? And here's the challenge with that. The challenge is most people rate their people skills. In fact, 90% of all people rate their people skills as above average. Okay, we know that's not true.
Right.
And I tell people, you know that annoying persuader or that salesperson that's in your face or that employee you don't like? I say, you know that type of person? And then I say, well, that could be you. Okay? People don't know. People don't know that people don't like them. They pretend to like them. In fact, 66% of the people that are fired from their jobs are fired because of their inability to work with people. People don't like them. And of course, they're never told that when they're fired, and so they think it's something else. But we really need to take a look at our people skills. Can we connect with people? Can we find similarities? Understanding verbal and nonverbal behavior. All these things come into place. Even word choice. Every word we use will either attract or repel the person that we're talking to. And so it's important to really understand human natures, the word we use, finding similarities, understanding people skills, and really know, are you connecting with a person or are you disconnecting?
And what can an individual do to understand how well they're connecting with someone, one of their peers or someone at work or a friend? What kinds of things, what triggers exist, Kurt, that allow people to get a better insight into this?
There's actually quite a few if people would just stop and look, because if you really learn how to listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart and not be so concerned about what to say next, you can see, you know, facial expressions. We know when people have a sincere smile, their eyes will smile with them. We know that if they've connected with you, their shoulders will square up with you. You watch, when people aren't connecting, they'll turn their shoulders away, they'll turn their feet away from you, and just kind of listening to the response, watching their eye contact, watching their facial expressions will give you a big indicator as far as you're connecting. But most people just don't even spend the time to watch. They're so concerned about the latest feature, the latest benefit, what to say next, that they completely miss all the clues that the prospect's giving them.
Well, you bring up an interesting point here, Kurt, and I think, you know, obviously your book is written, I think, with, you know, people who are in sales or marketing in mind. But let's face it, we all at one point or another are trying to get a raise, trying to get a job, trying to influence someone at work. So an awful lot of these persuasion skills that you teach in your book are applicable to everyone.
That's exactly why I wrote it. You know, I spent, you know, $50,000 on a master's in business, and I realized they didn't teach me the basic skills I need to be successful, because we all persuade for a living. As parents, teachers, leaders, managers, everything we want in life is on the other side of persuasion, and no one's ever taught us how to do it. And most of the things we're doing, we do in the wrong way. In fact, most people have 3 to 4 persuasion tools they use over and over and over again. There's over 100. And as Abraham Maslow says, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. And that's a big blunder, is people tend to persuade others how they like to be persuaded. And the goal here is to persuade them how they want to be persuaded with the right tools at the right moment, instead of doing the same things over and over and over again and hoping that they work.
You know, one of the things that you wrote about in your book that I found really interesting, and this was, you know, under the obstacles, the common obstacles people face when trying to persuade others, and one of those obstacles you wrote about is thinking like an employee. Can you elaborate on that?
You bet. I mean, we live in a world to where we want to, you know, blame other people, it's other people's responsibilities. When we think like an employee, we expect to be taken care of. But if we always, whether it doesn't matter if you're working for somebody else, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to think of yourself that this is your job. You're the president of this position to take complete ownership, to take complete control, and it just changes the mindset. And I mentioned in the book that I would love for the whole world to be on commission. You get paid for performance instead of getting stuck with the same old fee. Because sometimes when you get someone a salary, sometimes they slow down a little bit. They don't work as hard. When you get paid for performance, when you think that you're getting paid for performance and you change that mindset, productivity dramatically increases.
Another area that I'd like you to talk about here, because this is so prevalent out there in the business world, are obstacles we all face every single day in trying to persuade other people, or even in just trying to get our viewpoint across. It may not be so much a persuasion. It's just trying to communicate with someone that you might be working with about some of your ideas and why you believe they would work. Obviously, at the top of that list, as you write, is the fear of failure.
That is huge, and that keeps a lot of people from success. And you have to really understand that winning is all about losing. You look at the Olympic athletes that are winning those gold medals, they've lost more races than they've won. And when we're so concerned about failure, what if it doesn't happen, what if they say no, it locks us up, we lose all our creativity, we don't try very hard, and that's the same as sales adage, is some will, some won't, so what, who's next? There's some people that'll say no. I could be in the streets of New York City handing out $100 bills just because I want to help people out, and people wouldn't take them. There would be people I couldn't persuade to take that $100 bill. That's just how some people are. And so it's important to realize that with, you know, every failure, there's something we can learn, we can grow from it, and become a better person. But if we're all concerned about the fear of rejection, people saying no, people resenting us, I mean, we all want to be liked, but there's a point that no matter who you are, people are going to spit on your dreams, they're going to pull you down, they're going to tell you you can't do it, they might say no. But that's part of the learning process, and that's part of being successful. The more you understand persuasion, human nature, the decision-making process, it gives you power and confidence and control in every aspect of your life, and there's a direct correlation between your paycheck and your ability to persuade and influence.
You bring up one of your other power skills, which is command attention with power and authority. How do you learn how to do that?
That is something that does come with time. Power is an interesting thing, because when you have power, it increases your ability to persuade and influence. Some of it could be inherent. For example, a police officer's gun, that increases their ability to persuade. A lawyer's degree, a mechanic's knowledge. The biggest thing there is to understand that whatever your field is, whatever you're persuading on, you need to come across as the expert. Now, when you're the expert, that gives you power. And when you're the expert, there is no persuasion resistance. They're not going to call you on this or what about this. You are the expert. Whatever you say goes. There's trust. There's power. And it's people are much easier to persuade, because that resistance drops to almost zero, because you are the expert and you know how to solve their problem. As persuaders, we're problem solvers.
Kurt, how does one stay motivated?
That is a great question. Motivation is critical. And that's one of the things we've noticed that kind of surprised us as we researched top persuaders, is they had the ability to motivate other people, and they had the ability to motivate themselves. And I spent a lot of time researching this, watching people, because motivation is basically your call to action. And the big thing to realize here, that there's just not one type of motivation, that people are motivated different times in different ways. And on a rudimentary level, there's only two motivators in life, either inspiration or desperation. Okay, that's it. Desperation's rooted in fear many times. Inspiration tends to be rooted in vision. Desperation, you're moving away from something. Inspiration, you're moving towards something. And so the key here is to understand what type of motivation is going to work with you, with your prospect at that given time. Because a lot of people just go straight to desperation, and that doesn't work with some people. For example, when somebody's in an inspiration frame of mind, they're moving towards something, they're excited about where they're going, and you use desperation as a motivator, it will backfire on you every time, and you will not be able to persuade or motivate that person.
You write about what you call life alignment in your chapter on motivation, and I think obviously, to be able to be motivated, you have to have some alignment in your life. You have to have some understanding about why you're going about doing what you're doing, and really work on those things to make sure that you can stay motivated. Because if you're not passionate about what you're doing, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Absolutely. There's two important things you mentioned there. The first one is the passion. Now, passion, more than anything else, will recruit the hearts and minds of the people that you're talking to. And as we look at great persuaders, they have passion and love what they do. And passion can be learned. Passion's a very important thing. In fact, passion's more important than product knowledge. But the question you need to ask yourself, everyone needs to ask themselves, when you're talking to a client, a customer, a patient, whoever it is, you have to ask yourself, are you singing the song or are you singing the words? Are you just going through the motions? Because they can sense it. They won't call you on it, but they can sense that you're just going through the motions. Or do you really feel it? Are you really singing the song, or are you really going through the motions and singing the words? That's very important. And you also mentioned life alignment. And we notice with top persuaders is that they have balance in their lives. You can't neglect one area of your life and not expect it to affect your whole rest of your life. For example, that if you're not healthy, it'll affect every aspect of your life. And those six areas, of course, are your physical, intellectual, spiritual, social, financial, and emotional. If you neglect any one of those, it will affect your paycheck, it'll affect your relationships, it'll affect your life. And top persuaders, they are happier than most, and they are aligned, and they love what they're doing, and they love where they're going.
Okay, so how would you use the principles that you've written about in your book to go into a job interview, or perhaps, let's say, you want to get a promotion in your current job? What kinds of things would you do to prepare for that particular interview?
Well, the first thing is the research, you know, finding out what's going on. If you're asking for a raise, what is the boss really looking for? What have you been accomplished? And part of it, too, is what's in it for them. You know, if they give you a raise, is that going to be increased productivity? Are you going to take on more tasks? Is that going to keep you around longer? There's different things that you need to walk through as you go through that process. But then the top two, again, the job interview is the ability to connect and the ability to build trust. Learning to read that person. And one thing here, what happened with all these, is to understand different types of personalities. If you're going to a job interview and the person's very analytical, you need to stay in analytical mode. If the person's very amiable, you need to stay in that mode, because we tend to connect and like the people that are similar to us. And so if you can adapt yourself and your persuasion skills to the different personalities, it's going to go a long way. Again, getting the raise, it's going to go a long way in a job promotion, go a long way in interviewing for a job.
Well, Kurt, thank you very much for joining us today on Total Picture Radio. It's really been great to have an opportunity to talk to you about your new book, which is titled Persuasion IQ.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Kurt W. Mortensen, the author of Persuasion IQ, The 10 Skills You Need to Get Exactly What You Want, published by Amacom. Be sure to visit Kurt's feature page in the Success Strategies channel of Total Picture Radio. That's totalpicture.com for resource links and show notes. We'd also much appreciate your comments and thoughts on this topic. This is Peter Clayton reporting. Thanks for tuning in to Total Picture Radio, the voice of career leadership.